Welcome to Wonder in Reality with Jim Harwell. This is part three of Why Is It Jesus? This is Jim with Jim Harwell Ministries. Thank you for joining me. So, the question is, what's the real big picture about the universe? And this is an amazing topic. I'll try to sum it up very quickly. Mankind has been on the earth approximately 6,000 years. The earth has been around for billions of years, billions. And before mankind, there was a before Adam, a race on the earth and animals. And we have proof of all that, of course, through discoveries of all the animals and dinosaurs and things like that. The earth's been here for billions of years. We have scientific proof of that as well. It's amazing to think about, and there's books about it you can get if you want to find out more details. But it's incredible to read and to understand, and it's in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you can look that up in the Bible, about the fall of Lucifer. Lucifer was one, if not the highest created being under God Almighty. God Almighty is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just below him, he created Lucifer and also Michael and Gabriel. Well, Lucifer rebelled. Lucifer actually, if you read in those chapters, was given command of the earth, and he was over the earth. Well, he tried to exalt and invade heaven. He was cast out of heaven. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He was cast down. Anyway, the reason I'm saying all this is there is so much going on, so much more and in beyond our little human existence on the earth. It's incredible to think about. Even our 6,000 years is really just a very small amount of time compared to the billions of years that, you know, the earth has been around, and we get to the central awesome truth of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The opportunity to walk with Him, to know Him, to have that assurance of salvation, that we are going to go to heaven, that all is well. Living on the earth is hard. It is for all of us. But we can know Him and have that peace and have all of the incredible things that Jesus Christ offers, intangible things that only He can offer, the peace, the joy, the hope, faith, and this purpose and meaning to our life, knowing that we are, without Him, we really are nothing. We're fallen, frail human beings, but with Him, we become children of God, become partakers of the divine nature. That's what's so incredible. We can now, we have His life. We have what He calls eternal life, life everlasting, the divine nature. He said, and this is eternal life. This is Jesus talking in the book of John. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." It's incredible that we can do this. And so I encourage anyone who maybe is not sure of this, who's maybe not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you seek the answer, you will find it. You will find the right answer. You know, as we talked about in part one, there's a lot of different faiths. There's a lot of different paths someone can take. Probably the biggest quote-unquote religion on the earth is self-will, that people just want to do their own thing. That's human nature. That's the fallen human condition of wanting to just do whatever we want to do and not have to answer to God, not have to be our own God, essentially. It's self-will. What are some of the other things that distract? Jesus said, "The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts for other things." That covers so much right there. That's in one of His famous parables when He talks about basically the things that distract mankind from walking with God. So let's just go over those again. The cares of this world, well, we all have that. We all have to, you know, we're consumed with that. In fact, on the earth today, there's more than a billion people who all they are consumed with is getting food and water every day and just surviving. So, second, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. In the developed world especially, and really everywhere, people get distracted with money, right? And making money, and that becomes their thing, their God, and their... We understand that. I mean, it's you gotta have it on the one hand, but when it becomes a God where our first love is on money and having material things, that's not good. Third thing, the lusts for other things. And that would be the pleasures of this world, probably through things like alcohol, drugs, sex, things like that. So people fall in love with these things instead of with where we are supposed to be with Jesus Christ. And when we find Jesus, all those things are put in their right place. And we realize, wow, this is the way it's supposed to be. Now, we have to humble ourselves. We have to come to Him with a broken spirit, realize we are nothing without Him, that He's everything. Then He gloriously, we no longer, you know, He commands us to basically die. We no longer live, and now we become partakers of the divine nature. Now we're walking with Him. Everything is in its right place. It all makes sense. And He takes all those things that were our first loves, and He makes them better. Puts them in there. It's exactly the way it should be. And so that's another topic. Here's another objection that people have generally. And I think this is true around the world. A lot of people would say, or they think to themselves, you know, this following Jesus seems to be for weak people. It seems to be for those who really don't have anything on the earth. And so they follow Jesus, just that's all that they can do. That's all they have. You know, it's for the weak, for the, you know, oh, if, you know, they, I'm strong, I'm talented, I'm great, I'm awesome. I'm, you know, when someone has that something on the earth, that tends to be their God. Well, I want to read something to you that's pretty awesome. This is from one of Paul's letters. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's from Isaiah 29. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom... let me skip that. Here is the verse 26. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Amen. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Amen. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That is awesome. Amen. It is perfectly said. And that's from 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 31. But you see the message there. It's the same thing today. This is so incredible that God Almighty created the universe. He is awesome. And yet, He does that. He chooses the things that are despised, the things that are weak, the things that are foolish. He chooses those. And it's the same thing today. I'll continue in part 4.